Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Bread of Life. Just as God gave life to his people in the desert by providing manna, so Jesus gives life to his people through his body broken on the cross, which we remember in the breaking of the bread in communion. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Salute to some dudes in Michigan. This is Wretched Radio. If in your church has never considered a safety plan, perhaps the story from Michigan will encourage you to get on it. I know it's not your favorite subject. I know a church should be a safe space, but these days it's not. Two stories within the last week that I think should you got to at least talk about a church. You got to work through it. You got to sort it. And I, if a church makes a decision, look, we can't do that. We don't want a safety plan. We don't want people packing heat. Okay, I got Alpharetta Bible Church to worry about. What you do is what you do. But perhaps these stories will encourage you to think about what are you going to do to protect your people? Because it's getting lawless out there. Young man, 31 years old, having attended a church a couple of times in the last year with his mom, drives into the parking lot, starts shooting. Here's the deets. Several staff members from the church approached the gunman. One parishioner struck the gunman with his vehicle. Way to go, dude. I'm not going to be squishy on this. Way to go, dude. You had a vehicle, dude's firing a gun, you run him over. When you are doing that, you forfeit your life. As simple as that. That's why the death penalty is right. When you are murdering human beings, you have forfeited your life. Humans are so valuable, if you take the life of one of them, you have forfeited your own life. This is not being a vigilante. This is being a hero. This is being somebody who's trying to protect other people and put his own life at risk. Why? Because the gunman was shooting at the vehicle repeatedly. So it wasn't like the guy just hunkered down in his truck to mow him over. No, he was under fire. Then, at least two staff members shot the gunman, causing the fatal wounds. In other words, they were packing heat. Your church, if it doesn't have a safety plan, has got a little bit of work in front of you. First of all, you as a church need to decide, what are we comfortable with? And I think different churches are going to come up with different decisions. Should you conclude, we can't have our people be sitting ducks. We can't do that. We are going to come up with some sort of plan, which means we can stop somebody who is intending to murder our parishioners. It's going to be a challenge because you're going to need to deal with state laws. They vary from state to state. Furthermore, one of your biggest struggles is going to be insurance, because your church insurance company might not cover if the church has a safety plan that involves firearms. So you need to check those things out. You need to check it out with your insurance. Make sure if you are going to have people that are trained, you need to have an actual plan. And by the way, there's plenty of them out there. If you want what some of these plans are, just Google them. They're thorough and they're detailed. And you probably got somebody in your church who maybe has some law enforcement experience. Let them lead the way, because you need to have this organized. It can't be nilly-willy. You don't want just people running around like the wild, wild west. Have it organized. Make sure that your insurance covers incidents, and then enforce the plan. I really, really find this so distasteful that we churches have to do this, okay, you don't have to. We choose to. And I wonder, I'm just wondering out loud. Does the church need to let the world know we're not opposed to carrying firearms on Sunday morning? If you intend to do us harm, you will be responded to sort of like the people in Florida. Did you see the clip of the Brevard County Sheriff talking to the people who are thinking about rioting? This is tough talk. And this, by the way, I want this. from my Romans 13 government officials who have been given the sword to protect us and keep us safe. I want more of this. Now, should the church be talking about like this? You be the judge.
So I'm gonna break it down for you, all right? And if somebody wants to know what I mean by turn violent, all right, this is what I mean. If you resist lawful orders, you're going to jail. Let me be very clear about that. If you block an intersection or a roadway in Brevard County, you are going to jail. If you flee arrest, you're going to go to jail tired because we are going to run you down and put you in jail. If you try to mob rule a car in Brevard County, gathering around it, refusing to let the driver leave, in our county, you're most likely going to get run over and dragged across the street. If you spit on us, you're going to the hospital and in jail. If you hit one of us, you're going to the hospital and jail and most likely get bitten by one of our big, beautiful dogs that we have here. If you throw a brick, a firebomb, or point a gun at one of our deputies, we will be notifying your family where to collect your remains at because we will kill you graveyard dead. We're not going to play. This has got to stop. You're watching what's taking place out there. You're seeing police officers that are being attacked, being spit on, being put in harm's way just for doing their jobs. You're seeing ICE agents that are being targeted for doing their jobs. And you're seeing obstructionists that are doing all of this, standing in the way of law and order.
That's the issue. We need law and order. If people do not have an internal moral mechanism, we need an external enforcer. Simple as that. If people cannot guide their own actions, then you need somebody to guide them. Hence the government and their primary role to keep people safe. I love tough talk like this. Hey, Jimmy, this is just as an out of curiosity, I'm not suggesting that I want to move there. Could you check out the cost of living in Brevard County? I like that.
Yeah.
We need that. Now, should the church be talking like that? I don't know that we should be talking like tough guys, but it seems to me that buildings that publicly let the world know we don't carry here are more vulnerable. It seems that's why schools are such fertile ground for these people who want to murder, mass murder. Does your church have a plan? By the way, the police in Michigan, they said, well, this is pretty standard fare. They said the suspect, a 31-year-old man from Romulus, they believe he was suffering from a mental health crisis. And do you know what I say to that? I don't care. I don't care. Whatever emotional struggle you have, if you know that it is wrong to pack heat, put on a vest to protect yourself while you go out hunting humans, I'm sorry. We don't need to invoke a psychiatrist or a psychologist. We were watching this show. It was kind of a mystery show, and it was clean, and it was from Scotland, I think, England. The accents, I kind of get them confused sometimes. The point is, as soon as like the bad thing happened and the first order of business was, we need to get the mental health reports. Here's the mental health question. Did you know that it was wrong to actually go into a church parking lot to intentionally shoot up an entire congregation while the kids from VBS are singing during the service? Did you know that was wrong? Yes. All righty then. Examination is over. Hello, Romans 13. Story number two. This is another guy who went about the business of murdering a pastor, claiming that he wanted to do this to a lot of people. Now, this guy could communicate. This guy could drive. Did he have some emotional issues? Might he even have had some drug issues? Sure. Did he know that it's wrong to murder a man? He did. Romans 13. The man accused of killing a longtime Arizona pastor told police he planned to murder other pastors and priests across several states. Pastor Bill was found dead in his home, April 28th, he served New River Bible Chapel for decades and was well known in the community for his friendliness and love for vintage cars and planes. He said that he selected the dude, the pastor, randomly. Said he'd been camping in the desert after arriving in Arizona from California. After early release from federal prison, He claimed his motive was rooted in religious beliefs, asserting that Christianity was corrupt and that pastors and priests were misleading believers. Quote, I just drove there like 2 a.m. maybe and parked, and then I just went in there and did it. He said he crucified the pastor, and that was his plan with all of them. That's the plan, sir? So you had a strategy? You had thought in it? Sorry for your emotional struggles. Romans 13 is your book in the Bible. That is your chapter. That is your verse. And that is why these days, if the government can't keep us safe, church, I would simply ask you, do you have a plan to keep your people safe? Your church, do your church. Wow, that grammar was, I just murdered the English language. Your church needs to decide. Might be different than my church, might be different than the church down the street. But encouragement, pastor, elders, deacons, talk through it. Talk through it. We don't want to be a people that is perpetually terrified, but we don't want to be naive either. Question, does your church have a security plan? If the government is not willing to defend us well and talk tough, like I think they should, then maybe it's time we have to defend our own people. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. That's FortisInstitute.org/lies. You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Giffert, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Attributes of God. Can God make a rock so big he cannot lift it? God is all-powerful. He created the universe and everything in it, and nothing can thwart his will. So the question of the rock is nonsensical. It does not expose a problem with God, but with the thinking of the one asking the question, and they will one day have to answer to the omnipotent God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Curmudgeon alert! Curmudgeon alert! You're saying, Friel, you don't need to alert us. We expect it. Okay, fine. This is Wretched Radio. Did you catch the DEET? That's right. That's singular for DEETs. That little line in the story of the Michigan shooter who came to murder everybody inside of the church, who was stopped in the parking lot courtesy of a car and a couple of guns. The kids were singing Vacation Bible School songs up on the platform. Did you catch that little DEETS question? Does your church do that? And if they do, have they reasoned through it? Have they considered it from an ecclesiological perspective? In other words, is that something that is appropriate to do? Now, let me just say at the jump, I don't think a church is apostate if they have the kids up front singing Sunday school songs. I'm merely bringing this to your attention because it's a hobby horse of mine. I mean, because this the story elicits a response in a conversation. It's not just something that just I'm just personally opposed to. No, I would never do such a thing. That would be inappropriate, but have we really thought through biblically if that is something that is appropriate? Because I see a number of levels that need to be considered. And again, perhaps your church can say, yep, we've sorted through it. It is justified. For your consideration, a number of things that you should work through before you put the kids up there, starting with who is qualified to lead worship. That is leading worship. If you're putting kids up front, which incidentally is a side note, is a very, very new trend. Even when I was a kid, which I know you could argue is getting closer to ancient history, but when I was a kid, I remember the choir, it never was on the, like, up front. There were choir lofts. That's what Protestant churches did. They built lofts. They were out of sight. Why? Because they weren't to be the center of attention. They weren't to be leading worship. They were to be offering special music that you and I could sing in our hearts. So they were never put up front. This is a new trend. And so the kids going up front, this is something that historically is kind of a new thing that we're doing. And because they are up front, does that constitute leadership? And I say that because maybe I'm being duplicitous in all of this. I can imagine that if kids were preparing special music for the worship service, could that be offered in a reverent way where it's not, we're not doing a show here, where we're not doing videos of the kids because it's adorable. It's actual genuine work. Can that be, there's something inside of me that says, I'm fine with that. I think that that can be reverential as a part of a worship service because it is worshiping God, but it's not leading worship. So question number one is, if the kids are up front, are they leading worship? Which leads to question number two, is that worship or is it a show? God asks the question, is that worship or is it something that we do because the kids, they really like it. It makes it special. It caps off the week. And it provides a lot of videos where the parents actually walk up now with their cell phones during the search to videotape it to show how adorable their kid was on Sunday morning. If that's what's happening, I personally don't think that has any place in a worship service, which should have one and one only in the spotlight, Jesus Christ. And if it is not a regulated element, and doing something, having, I get it, because it's like, well, they're singing Christian songs. They're singing about Jonah. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is if we're doing it as a performance because it's adorable, that is not a regulated element of Sunday morning worship. Worship is, music is, reading the Bible is, prayer is, Lord's table is, baptisms is, preaching is, the reading of God's word is, but having the kids get up there to provide some really cool social media footage, I don't see that passing ecclesiological muster. Third consideration is the question, why? Why are we doing that? And I really do get this. I truly do get this because sometimes kids come that never go to church. Their parents, they want to dump them for a couple of hours. The other kids are going. I get it. We hope that they'll hear the gospel. But then in order to get the parents, the unchurched parents to come, we have the kids singing in Sunday service to get them to come in and hopefully they hear the gospel and hopefully they get saved. Might I suggest, I don't know that I would pound my fist real hard on this issue, but that's not what church is for. The church isn't to do things that will lure people in who otherwise would not darken the doorstep of a church. That's pragmatism. We reject that. Would I start a new denomination over this? No, I wouldn't. Would I turn my nose up at a church that has the kids up there? No. But maybe, just maybe, something to revisit and reconsider, because we want to do it God's way. We don't want to do this our way. We don't want to be pragmatic. We don't want to be low. We want Christ to be exalted, which brings me to, yes, I know I have shared this before, but I am willing to make a bet. You won't be bored hearing this a second time. I have no idea. Jimmy, maybe you printed this. My printer is kafritz. I hit the print button and it gets printed somewhere in the office. I don't exactly know what's going on with the printer thing. But my stack, I got my stack. And Jimmy, did you print a thing from Ray Comfort? Sermon from Ray Comfort?
I didn't know.
All right. It's Providence. I have to read it. He's treating John 20. He's talking about Jesus Christ being crucified. And he does it in such a vivid way that it's worth sharing. Because this is what I think the church should do. Not just the sermon, but all of church. It should be exalting Jesus so that we love our Savior more when we're done than when we began. And I got to tell you, this is just some of the finest writing. This is just good preaching. The Bible, this is a man named Joseph of Arimathea in John chapter 20. The Bible says he was a believer, but secretly for fear of the Jews, a secret believer. Because he was captive to the fear of man. The fear of man was a sneer to Joseph of Arimathea. He preferred the praises of men to the praises of God, but the Bible tells us something happened on that day of Jesus' crucifixion. Perhaps he stood at the foot of the cross and heard Jesus cry, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Perhaps he had that dark day. He had the light of understanding from God's law and understood this was the Messiah becoming a curse for us, being bruised for man's transgressions. Preached about this a little bit on Sunday morning. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. It was in the context of Jesus being in the garden, and it's a succession of descriptors of how he was feeling. I'm troubled. I'm like really grieved. I'm like on the edge of dying over this horror that I am facing. It was this progression of weight that he was experiencing as he was being pressed in the garden. And I think a part of the pressing, part of the horror, this was a soul troubling horror that Jesus was experiencing for a number of reasons, but for the sake of Joseph of Arimathea, he was going to be identified as sin. He didn't become sin. He wasn't the sinner, but he took it upon himself. He was credited with our sin. I don't know who did this video or maybe this illustration, but as if a robe were put on him that had all the different types of sins on them. Liar, fornicator, pornographer, adulterer, murderer, abortion doctor, all of it put on him. That is what he was doing, starting in the garden, accomplished on the cross with his death, burial, and resurrection. Maybe Joseph of Arimathea got that day. Something happened to a point where Joseph, that trembling and fearful man, boldly went to Pilate and he claimed the body of Jesus Christ, and Joseph had the privilege of taking down the Son of God off the cross. Have you ever wondered what it would be like in reality for him to reach up and take hold of the cold, stained, lifeless hand of the carpenter from Nazareth and rip it from those 6-inch barbs? And think to himself, these were the hands that once held nails and wood being held by nails and wood. These were the hands that fed multitudes with bread, the bread of life, as he gazed into those lifeless eyes of Jesus Christ and saw death gripped in those icy eyes. These are once the warm eyes filled with a life, the life of God that brought conviction of sin to multitudes. And he reached down to pull his feet from the cross, those blood-stained feet that walked the shores of Galilee, the beautiful feet that preached the gospel of peace. That is what Joseph of Arimathea saw. And he was no longer a man who feared men, because he saw the one identified with our sin die for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That is what Sunday morning should be about. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.